doing the whole 6010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus. Hello and welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. My name is Daniel Dopp. I am joined by Stefania Bell and Field Yates. It is Tuesday, August 30th, a very important day for this podcast, Field Yates.
It is. It's Chapin Yates' birthday.
That's right.
My lovely wife, who deserves a shout out really every day of the year. But happy birthday, babe. We love you so much. Kinley and I, and Cisco, of course, are incredibly grateful to have you in our lives. We have no idea what we did to deserve you, but we're going to celebrate you all day. That actually started this morning when Kinley slept in later than she has ever slept in her life. And I was like, this is fate right here.
The child is a rock star.
She was now... I mean, once she got up, she was raring and ready to go.
Ready to go, yeah.
But I was like, I'm sitting there in bed, like just staring at the ceiling, like, why hasn't the baby started talking yet? What's going on here? Do I get up? Do I go downstairs? Do I not go downstairs? A very rare occasion, but a much deserved one for Chapin on her special birthday.
Heck yeah. Happy birthday, Chapin. Thank you so much for letting us have Field for a couple of moments today while you do special things.
I think she's actually happy I'm out of the house for a while. I get to hang out with Kinley on my own or... go on the Peloton or do whatever that she wants to do for a few hours.
Heck yeah. The real rock star of the Yates family. All right. We have so much we're going to get into today. We got news we are going to talk about. We got some teams that were drafted we're going to break down. And most importantly, it is our final double trouble of the preseason.
We have made it.
But first and foremost, we got some news that we're going to get to. And that's going to start in Carolina where... Go ahead.
Do you have something? I was going to... Go ahead.
The news starts with... Laviska Shenault, you remember him?
I do, yeah.
Second round draft pick that we were all really excited about in Jacksonville. Never really got a felt like a good run there in Jacksonville. Now has been traded to the Panthers, and he's going to join not just DJ Moore, but Robbie Anderson and Terrace Marshall and Christian McCaffrey, vying for passes inside of that Baker Mayfield-led offense field. Move the fantasy needle at all for you?
Not really. No, excuse me. I'm sort of surprised, to be honest with you, because if you had asked me teams that sort of needed extra offensive playmakers, the Panthers weren't one that came to mind for me. So I was a bit surprised that they were the team that traded for Laviska Shenault. Worth noting, there's a connection to Ben McAdoo, now the Panthers OC. Previously spent some time with Shenault in Jacksonville, and... the trade terms were not announced by either team. Usually what that means is that the team that's trading a pick gave up like a seventh round pick.
Yep.
Like if this was for a third round pick, the Jaguars might be saying like, they would look at that as solid return on investment. So the reason why I mentioned that is the Panthers maybe saying to themselves, we didn't trade for Laviska Shenault because we have this massive need. We like the player. He was a second round pick a couple of years ago, price was incredibly non-prohibitive. Oh, there we go. We do have the extra. I didn't see that announced last night. So it was a 2023 seventh and a 2024 sixth round pick going to the Jaguars.
Well, I'm so confused. Wasn't Amari Cooper traded for like a seventh round pick straight up?
That's a whole different conversation.
Okay. All right. I don't understand football, yes. I guess, guys.
But Laviska Shenault has intrigued me as a runner. He has struggled with drops in his past. Mm-hmm. He's been an inconsistent player, probably best served as a wild card for Carolina, but clearly like at best wide receiver three in this offense. Maybe more likely wide receiver 4 or 5.
I've long been a Laviska Shenault apologist. People might remember. I really felt like he didn't come out of the gate in a fair spot because remember when he was drafted, he had that poor showing at the combine because he was hurt. He was hurt in college. He had a core muscle injury. He wanted to try and perform at the combine. It didn't do him any favors because he was hurt. He didn't run well. He ends up having the surgery after the combine. By the time he gets to the Jaguars, he's still recovering from that. So he wasn't really himself. And he's had these spotty injuries throughout his career. I feel like he's never really gotten going. We see flashes, like a glimmer, as someone said it to me, of what he could be. And then then it fades away again. So a combination of not really consistently being on the field, don't know that I can blame, he was in the Jacksonville offense, which was struggling for the last couple of years. So you put that in the mix. And then they had him return a punt this year and he muffed the punt. Yeah. And it felt like there wasn't a lot of love for him in Jacksonville. This is a place where he goes to get a chance. Although I'm with Field. I don't really know why he's there or what might happen. I don't know if this is a bit of an indictment on Terrace Marshall at all. Maybe it's a nudge in that regard, but fantasy wise, I don't, doesn't do anything for me.
With you as well. The last thing that I'll say, and this is probably just as much, this is not related to LaVisca Chenault necessarily, but we're having this conversation at 11:05 a.m. Eastern time. It is the busiest day of the NFL year in terms of transactions. So if there's some news that we don't address on today's show, it's probably not because we're not aware of it. It's because it happened after our show went off the air. It's just a PSA for people that are listening to this on the audio version.
Great point. Another person we're going to talk about really quickly, after Stefania Bell re-signed her deal, her agent actually flew out to San Francisco in order to help Jimmy Garoppolo restructure his contract so that both of you could stay with your team, Stefania.
Take it away.
Go ahead. How do you feel about this?
Well, if you're making an analogy between my situation and his, I'm not sure I'm totally comfortable with that. So I have many thoughts. I've been talking to a lot of people since this news went down because everybody wants to know what those of us who are 49er fans and what the people who are around the 49ers, I certainly talked to a number of them. You know, at first blush to me, it felt like, well, this is just a sound business decision. I've been saying all along that there wasn't going to be a great trade market for Jimmy G because of coming off the shoulder surgery. He obviously had it late because they played late. They played to the NFC Championship.
And the business decision that you're mentioning is he re-signed a one-year contract worth $6.5 million.
That business decision was to re-sign, give him this opportunity because it extends the trade window for him, right? It's he's with the team. They have until late October to be able to make a trade. And he's been working on the side and clearly is better. Everything, all the reports on his shoulder are good. I've heard exceptional things about his shoulder. The type of injury he had was not a big risk to him as a thrower, but people aren't going to trade for a quarterback whose throwing arm is in recovery from shoulder surgery. I understand that. So it made sense to me that nothing was happening and people were wondering, why aren't they making a move? And I thought, well, nobody's out there who's going to pay the 49ers what they want to get. They're not going to compensate them appropriately for him. Sure. So by restructuring his base pay, I think that makes him a more attractive trade target as well. So I thought all of that. But then you start thinking about what's going on with Trey Lance and sort of the rumblings of what can Trey Lance be in this offense? Are they worried about him, the inconsistencies? And I think there, you know, it creates a lot of question marks. I'll leave it like that. Mm. And my question is, though, and this is a question, I don't have an answer, I don't necessarily have a thought on it, but if people look at the 49ers and they go, they're a team that's built to win now. Look at the offensive playmakers they have around them. They're a team that's built to win. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, they've been there a while. They've been close, but they haven't gotten it done. If this is really about you're nervous about Trey Lance and you really think that we got this guy who's taken us to a Super Bowl and an NFC championship and we have him, why not just come out and say, we want to give Trey Lance an extra year. We're not ready. You know, Green Bay's done it. It's worked out pretty well for them and the quarterbacks they've held on the sideline for a couple of years. So I guess my question is, and I, again, this is rhetorical. I don't have an answer. If that's how they really feel, why not come out and do that?
They're too far down this path. They're too far down the Trey Lance is our starter path to move off of that at all. You have to be all in behind Trey Lance. You simply have to right now. It's just would be totally crippling.
And right now, because they've already gone down that path, they didn't have to be all in if they decided Jimmy Garoppolo could be the guy for another year, but they already made that decision publicly.
But how long are you all in?
Oh, no question about it. But you have to be all in until the game begins. So there are a million different things. We could have a full podcast on the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. And NFL Live might do two segments on it today. So I would encourage you to always tune into NFL Live today, especially as far as the fantasy impact of this is concerned, is that there is now more risk in rostering Trey Lance as your starting quarterback than there was 24 hours ago. There was a world that existed that Trey Lance played poorly as a real life quarterback, but well as a fantasy quarterback, and he was just fine for your roster. So he's averaging 50 rushing yards per game. Maybe he's averaging just a touchdown pass per game, 175 passing yards, whatever. If he's got, 800 rushing yards this season, that's probably going to be good enough for him to be a top 10 or 12 quarterback, maybe even better. There's also a world in which Trey Lance crushes it this year, and all of the concerns that have been realized during the preseason proved to be moot. But now there's a world in which Trey Lance doesn't play well, even if he's playing fine for fantasy. And after 3 weeks, 49ers are 1-2. The Rams are 3-0. Maybe the Cardinals start hot again. Rest of the NFC looks strong. And Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance have a difficult conversation. and they say, Jimmy, we're going back to you. This is the last year that Jimmy is our guy, but we're too good. We owe it to ourselves in the locker room to play him. So there's a bit more risk involved with Trey Lance than there was, again, just a day ago. I'm still confident. Really like the player. Really like the rushing ability. But if you draft Trey Lance and things are slow out of the gate, you need to monitor the waiver wire more than others in your league who have a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes, et cetera.
Yep. All right. That's really fair and makes me nervous to draft Trey Lance now.
So I'm thanks, okay. Draft. No, I'm not nervous drafting him as much because it's so easy to pivot in a 10 or 12 team league. In a 16 team league, I might be a little bit more nervous, sure. But I'm still okay within a 10 team league. You can pivot if Trey Lance is your quarterback and after 1 week, he's not good, or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, like there's going to be Kirk Cousins or Trevor Lawrence or Derek Carr available for you.
That's so fair. That's fair.
Here's what I know.
League size matters here.
49ers are going to be in the news a lot this year. We're going to be watching them a lot. And by the way, they start off with Chicago and Seattle, but then that third week they go to Denver. So I think the first 3 weeks are going to be really important.
Really big weeks for them. All right. That's enough of the news. Let's move on to our final double trouble.
Double trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble.
Trouble.
Double trouble.
Double O.
Double O.
Double, double.
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Wow, look at that Bengals team. And then also the Steelers are over there, too. Actually, the Steelers have
don't you dare do that.
Quite a few people there.
Good.
I got at least a couple targets on that Steelers team. Let's start with the Bengals, though, if you don't mind. Where I feel like Mike Clay is going to start us off with the video on Joe Burrow. I'll leave it to Mike to not be on the show and still somehow show up all the time. Who would you call a bust?
I would go with someone named Joe Burrow
my
bust.
The guy that was in the Super Bowl last year. Yeah, okay, yeah, exactly. Tell us about that guy.
Okay.
Exactly, and again, I cannot stress this enough. Burrow's a great player, much like you were saying with Aaron Rodgers. Really, you're going to have another good season. Just not a good fantasy quarterback so far. He scored 47% of his fantasy points last season in three games.
Hilarious, yeah.
No other finishes higher than eighth on the season, right? And two of those games, by the way, the Ravens were done on defense. They had nothing left. He was just picking on their backups, basically, especially in the secondary.
All right, Field, so you look at that. I mean, listen, Mike said it. 47% of Burrow's production came in three big games. I actually feel he's being drafted right now as a starter in a 10-team league. I don't have a problem with that. But I feel like Joe Burrow might have more bust in his game than any other quarterback that you're drafting inside that top 10 when it comes to specific weeks that might not give you a top-tier fantasy production. Where are you at on Joe this year?
Yeah, I'm more confident than both you and Mike, it seems. So if you look at the quarterbacks that are being drafted ahead of Joe Burrow or right behind him, you've got guys that are elite passers and elite runners, whether it's a Josh Allen, whether it's a Lamar Jackson, whether it's Russell Wilson, potentially, with the way things shake out in Denver this year. Those guys have a higher floor and a higher ceiling than Joe Burrow because they could rush for 50 yards in a game in which they don't throw for two or three touchdown passes. You've also got guys like Tom Brady and Dak Prescott, at least last year, and Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers, who don't offer a ton, or in the case of Brady, any rushing value whatsoever. And so the case for Joe Burrow is, okay, he may not add a ton with his legs. Do you trust this player as a passer? Well, I do. I mean, did you guys watch the NFL last year? Did you watch the way that he played towards the end of the season? Did you see massive signs of growth from Joe Burrow, who may be one of the best leaders in the NFL already, who certainly strikes me as the kind of guy who's willing to get better over time? He led the NFL completion percentage. That was good. I know that a lot of his points last year came in just three games. He also had 11 games last year with at least two touchdown passes. All those things are good. I believe Joe Burrow is a legitimate franchise quarterback. Top five, top eight, top 10. Wherever you decide he falls in your quarterback ranks, I believe he's awesome. Beyond that, much improved offensive line, who I'm going to talk about more when we discuss Joe Mixon in a minute, but just much improved offensive line for now. And then if you're going around ranking the best 1, 2, 3 wide receiver groups in the NFL, I'm not sure how many teams are ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals right now. The answer is maybe none. You've got Ja'Marr Chase, who is a mega star. You've got T. Higgins, who's so good, yet we never talk about him because he's basically outshined by Ja'Marr Chase, right? And then Tyler Boyd, who in a different team or a different situation would be a threat for 100 catches. So Joe Burrow checks the following boxes. Incredible player with great weapons, and every team in the AFC is going to have to throw the football this year. They just will. So I'm bullish on Joe Burrow this year. I'm all in.
Stefania?
I mean, Field just outlined all of my arguments. Right, Mike Clay's insane. That's all I'm going to say.
Which is always a good place to end your argument.
Joe Burrow, by the way, last year when he came into the season, remember we were talking about? Like, how is he going to be coming off a completely shredded knee?
Yeah.
His season ended traumatically with a dislocated knee, a multi-ligament injury. And then when he came back, it was still like, COVID situation, things weren't normal. He had to get comfortable in the pocket with still not a very good offensive line coming off that knee injury. And not only did he adjust and adapt to it, he played well pretty much out of the gate. And does anyone even remember that he had an appendectomy? No, not really, because he's coming back and doing things that are Joe Burrow-like. And the guy is tough as nails. His teammates love him. I know that doesn't account for points, but I think the leadership role and the growth only enhances what he is going to be able to do creativity-wise as a passer.
I think he will end as a top 10 quarterback. And I'll just say, to Mike makes very salient points, like, it would be naive to ignore the fact that a lot of his production last season came in just three games. My belief is that that is a testament to the kind of player he can become. Not every week. No one throws for 400 passing yards a week. But if Joe Burrow pushes 5,000 passing yards over the course of this season and 35 or 40 passing touchdowns, wouldn't surprise me. I view him as that kind of player.
I hear all the things that you guys say, and I still see that he was not a top 15 quarterback 7 weeks last year. And if I'm drafting someone like Joe Burrow, not being top 15, mind you,
again,
offensive line got better this year, so we think that's going to go up. But
for better and worse, like the really great numbers on the positive side and the really less good numbers last year, I'm sort of ignoring. I am projecting going forward that Joe Burrow emerges not quite the tier of Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers as passers, but exceptional passer, and the weapons are ridiculous.
There should be no, if you leave your draft, a 10-team or 12-team league, with Joe Burrow as your QB, you're not worried about it. I like a couple guys more, but you're not worried about it.
I'm not worried.
Which is fair.
No, I think some of the guys going ahead of him, I would take Joe Burrow over Aaron Rodgers right now.
I think I would too. What about Ja'Marr Chase? We talked about this, Stefania.
Now it gets fun.
This is where it gets exciting. I've got Ja'Marr Chase as my wide receiver 3. Field has talked about how he is in the top of his tier 1 at wide receiver. We saw Ja'Marr Chase basically blow the roof off of the doors.
I've heard that expression.
His first NFL season. What else is there left? What more can Ja'Marr Chase squeeze out of this orange that he has? Because he delivered an unreal season. Can he be better than he was last year?
Well, he did have 5 games with 5 or fewer targets. So, you know, if we just make sure that all of his games go up to 5 targets or more. No, I mean, you have to cherry pick to kind of find ways to make Ja'Marr Chase better. But I think it goes back to the chemistry with him and Burrow, which was established, obviously, before he got to Cincinnati. But remember last year, everybody was talking about the drops and, oh my gosh, what's going to happen with Ja'Marr Chase? And then that just like went away from the beginning. I think all of that only gets better. He's clearly Joe Burrow's preferred target, and he's got the ability to get down the field in a hurry. All of that yards after catch has huge fantasy value. I mean, not only can Joe Burrow throw it deep to him, but he can also be elusive enough to continue to tack on yards after the catch. I think those skills continue to develop as he's in the NFL. Remember, before he came into the NFL, he had taken a year off of football. Mm-hmm. And so, he's a young wide receiver. We rarely see them in their rookie season perform at the level that he did. If you think that year 2 and 3 is the breakout for a wide receiver, of course, between what he's learned just being on the field and being in the locker room, I think he's got the potential to continue to improve.
Yeah. I just heard 2,500 yards and 22 touchdowns from Stefania Field.
That's not that far off. I mean, 22 years old, set the NFL rookie receiving record last year, broke the record previously held by his teammate Justin Jefferson just a year prior. And Stefania's right. You just got to get him the ball because 10 games last year, Ja'Marr Chase had at least 7 targets. He had 22.9 fantasy points per game in those 10 games. If you think that 7 targets per game is reasonable for Ja'Marr Chase, I would say you're absolutely right. I mean, he's one of the best players in the NFL. He was 5th in the NFL in yards per catch. He was tied for 4th in terms of 20-plus yard catches, and he was 3rd in yards after the catch. We saw what happens when you get him the ball. Great things happen for Ja'Marr Chase. We also know that despite being 4th in the NFL last year in total receiving yards, he was 18th in total targets. If he ends up as a top 10 player in terms of total targets this year, then he could easily, easily finish as wide receiver one. It's very hard to find anything to say negatively about Ja'Marr Chase. The only reason why I have him below Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson is just because he's got better players around him than Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp do, because yep. T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd are so darn good.
Absolutely. I'm totally with you there. Coming out of that question, you've got T. Higgins on the other side of him field, and we all know that we expect Ja'Marr Chase to keep being what he was last year. Although, I want to say this. How many top, like literal, top three wide receivers also share the field with another top 12 wide receiver on the other side? And he doesn't take away enough for us to be worried about that. Like, Ja'Marr Chase is a superstar. You have no reason to be worried about drafting him. I took him seventh overall in a draft that you and I are in last night.
Yeah.
Had no problem with that.
Ja'Marr Chase, you mean? Ja'Marr Chase. Of course. Yeah. And the answer is there is no other team that has two top 12 wide receivers this season, at least based off of the preseason ranking.
The
but T. Higgins is currently being drafted as wide receiver 11 on ESPN in the fourth round. I've got him at wide receiver 11. Scary part is he's 23 years old. So they've got two guys who are 22 and 23 plus Joe Burrow. Next year, the Bengals are going to have to sign Joe Burrow and T. Higgins to extensions if they so desire. Like, they're going to have a salary, their salary caps, when look at the Warriors now. It's like $350 million a year. It's absurd how much money these guys are going to make over the next couple of years. But T. Higgins, despite the fact that he played opposite of Ja'Marr Chase, was busy last year. He played 14 games, and he had five targets in 12 of those 14 games. And Ja'Marr Chase is a superior overall talent in my estimation, which is no slight at T. Higgins. But there is a way in which T. Higgins can be the guy that carries the load for a prolonged stretch. Last year, from weeks 12 through 18, T. Higgins led the team in catches with 37, targets with 51, receiving yards with 645, and he was second in terms of touchdown receptions during that same window. He missed a game. He played one more game than Ja'Marr Chase and still outpaced him in three important categories there. So T. Higgins is a megastar. He's right on that borderline of where if you leave a draft with him as your wide receiver one, like, I feel good about it. I understand that he's the number two wide receiver on his own team, but I feel really good about it. I love this player. I can't wait to watch this team because they play fast. They run a they play aggressively. They throw the football aplenty. I can't wait to watch this Bengals team this season.
I think T. Higgins is a great example field of if you go running back, and now you're in the third round looking for your wide receiver or running back tight end.
Yeah.
T. Higgins can absolutely be your wide receiver. Mike Evans, Keenan Allen.
Those are the names you're looking at for sure.
You feel really good leaving your draft from that standpoint right there. All right, Stefania, let's talk about Tyler Boyd, because I feel like we mentioned him, but he's sort of the guy that gets lost in this offense. In spite of how good he is, there are just so many other good skill position players around him. Normally, we don't talk about insurance wide receivers for a reason, but this sort of feels like an offense where if either Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins miss time, Tyler Boyd could step right in and be a top 20 wide receiver for you right from the jump. How are you looking at Tyler Boyd this year?
I actually think that's one of the best cases to be made for him because of the way that offense runs. And last year when I went to the Bengals, I felt I was of the opinion that Tyler Boyd would have a bigger year than he did. I mean, his target numbers went down last year relative to previous years, but it's like Field said, another team, another offense where there was more need for his talents. We wouldn't be talking like this about him. He would be a primary receiver. He wouldn't be the one who's the odd man out. And they were running a lot of red zone packages where he was being looked for as a scoring option in the end zone. And then I didn't see much of that play out in the course of the season. I think his skill set is there to make him incredibly versatile for them. But it's just a function of all the different weapons that they have in the offense. If something were to happen to Tyler Boyd, I mean to Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd could easily fulfill a role where his value would go up.
Jump into that spot. Field, do you have any feelings on any of the other pass catchers within this offense, including Tyler Boyd? Is there anyone else that you like here? Because it feels like it's just those two guys for me.
Yeah, I'd say for the most part, just those two guys. Hayden Hurst, kind of intriguing. I know people are going to say, well, haven't we been down that path before? You're right, we have. But I think this is the best quarterback as a pure passer that Hayden Hurst has played with. And in Baltimore, maybe Lamar Jackson, he's in the same breath at least as Joe Burrow as a passer. But he was playing alongside Nick Boyle and also Mark Andrews. And then in Atlanta, also this past year, split time with Kyle Pitts. He's got an opportunity here. I'm not sure I would be drafting Hayden Hurst, but wouldn't surprise me if in the middle of the season, you're like, wow, Hayden Hurst has like five receiving touchdowns already. Keep him on. I mean, waiver wire player.
Yes.
Waiver wire player for me.
Yes. Much, much deeper from that standpoint. I actually really like Hayden Hurst, by the way, in DFS. I think quite a bit this year. He's going to be a cheaper tight end option on a really good offense. And in best ball. I really like that as well. All right, Joe Mixon, Field Yates. Joe Mixon was on 48% of leagues last year had a playoff team that rostered Joe Mixon, which means, in my mind, there's a lot of positive equity within fantasy managers because Joe Mixon delivered on a lot last year for people.
He did.
Is he somebody this year? Right now you're drafting him usually at the back end of the first round, the beginning of the second round as your RB1. Do you think that it's okay leaving your draft with Joe Mixon as your RB1 as a top 10 running back this
year? Yeah, I think so. He's sort of right behind that tier of guys that are elite at the position. And you have to like the volume for Joe Mixon. Every game last year, and you can include the games they played in the postseason as well, he had at least 10 rushing attempts, and in many cases, much closer to 20. So good volume there. He had 48 targets, but caught 42 of those. He's an efficient pass catcher, and a lot of it's just dump offs and screens. But we don't care about that. We just care about whether you get the catches or not. But he's got solid, not spectacular, but solid enough passing game volume combined with really solid rushing volume. He was third in the NFL in terms of rushing attempts last season. And what I am most excited about for Joe Mixon is something I mentioned a bit earlier, is that he has just one season in his career with more than 4.1 yards per carry. Because as we know, for the past Lord knows how long, one of the issues for the Bengals has been a substandard offensive line. This offseason alone, they added Lyle Collins from the Dallas Cowboys. They added Ted Karras from the Patriots and Alex Kappa from the Buccaneers. All three guys who got real money as free agents to help boost this offensive line up. If that 4.1 yards per attempt for Joe Mixon goes up by half a yard, and you multiply that, we're talking about a guy who could rush for 1,400 yards and add another 250 or so as a receiver. So really like Joe Mixon, strikes me as one of those rock solid values in that next tier of running backs. Guys like Leonard Fournette and Aaron Jones also in that category. Yeah,
I don't want to say he feels boring per se, but once you get past that top tier, I mean, he's right after that Dalvin Cook, Najee Harris, probably DeAndre Swift is right in that same area with him, but I don't know.
That's okay.
I think it's a function of the offense he's in too. You know, there's all these rock star receivers, so he tends to get overlooked. And he's been remarkably durable other than that one year with a foot injury. Yeah. Last year played 16 games.
And by the way, had an incredible rushing touchdown upside last year, which that's going to be hard to match. 13 is a big number for anybody, but good offense. And when they get down close, it's going to be Joe Mixon. So not like there's massive, massive competition for carries in the backfield. They don't have a guy who is a finisher, a guy that's 275 pounds at running back. They don't have their LeGarrette Blount or somebody who can come in and steal those opportunities away from him.
Mikel Ashour, yeah. So Caesars
has... Yeah, Mikel Ashour, he was a good player back in the day, for sure.
Yeah. Caesars has the Bengals at 10 wins this year. Phil Jates?
I'm going to go over. This one makes me a bit nervous, though, because the division's really good. I expect the Ravens to bounce back and the Steelers to sort of find a way. And the biggest question I always ask when teams take a big step forward is what's it like going from being the hunters to the hunted? But I got Cincinnati at 11 wins this year.
Yeah. I'm going to take the over too, Stefania.
I'm going to take the over.
I think they got a lot better this year. Adding to that offensive line, I'm really excited to see the way that's going to impact this offense. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Stefania is going to help us pay some bills. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about the Steelers. Oh, wait, maybe Stefania's not.
Is Stefania paying him? I mean, Stefania has the money to pay the bills. I will, though.
I think Fields.
Hey, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. After all, doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renter's coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
When it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, quarterback, or even which defense is right for your team on any given week, you know where to turn. But when you're trying to decide on the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where are you supposed to go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think about people as obsessed about personal finances. We are about fantasy sports. And they want to share their knowledge with our listeners to help you guys figure out the right financial products for you. Let's say you're looking for a new rewards credit card. NerdWallet can help you compare cashback cards side by side so you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending needs. Think of them like your wide receiver PPR rankings, but you're comparing top credit cards that work for you instead of wide receivers. So, are you ready to make a smart financial decision? Compare and find top credit card saving accounts and more at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet Compare Inc. NMLS 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only. All right, moving on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for this team, I watched this the Steelers play this last week as they played out the Detroit Lions in preseason. I got to tell you, Mitch Trubisky looked like he's going to be the starting quarterback for this team. I don't know that really changes anything for me from a fantasy perspective for anyone else on this team, regardless of if it's Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. Does it matter to you guys who the starter is here? Stefania?
No. I think it will be Mitch Trubisky. I actually thought, you know, he was pretty efficient in running the offense. Threw a couple of really nice passes.
Yes, he did.
Seemed to be a little bit more decisive than what we've seen in the past when he was, scrambling for his life. So whatever has happened, he seems to have struck a good fit with what Pittsburgh needs right now. And I do expect he's the starter and Kenny Pickett will come along. The question for me is how long does that arrangement last?
I'll tell you what, watching that game, and I realize this is preseason. It's only a preseason game, but listening to that Pittsburgh Steelers fan base be so pumped when Kenny Pickett got out there the second half, they cannot wait for him to be out there on the field. But for this season, I just, from a fantasy perspective, I don't think it makes a difference which one of them is under center for any of these skill position players. So with that being said, Stefania, yesterday we talked about Deontay Johnson. In case you weren't here yesterday, in case you did not listen to the podcast, can you give us the latest on Deontay Johnson coming off of the injury he suffered in that preseason game?
Yeah, we were talking about that nice play that Mitch Trubisky made to Deontay Johnson, a big strike down the field. Deontay Johnson makes a nice catch, actually goes forward, lands hard on his shoulder, comes up, and then disappears out for the rest of the game with what was referred to at the time as a shoulder injury. Mike Tomlin afterwards saying, not a big deal, not serious, and that maybe he could have returned if it were a regular season game.
I'm a little confused by some things that have taken place in the rankings process with Deontay Johnson and how he's being valued. Another guy that I started off higher in my rankings, and he's kind of inched down to wide receiver 15, but I'm wondering if he should be closer to wide receiver 10. There's an important distinction. It's not necessarily how, it's how many. And that matters in fantasy football when it comes to targets, right? Over the past 2 years, Deontay Johnson has the second most targets in the NFL. Let me change that. Second most targets per game over the past two seasons. Fourth in total targets, just because he's missed a game or two during that stretch. He has 195 catches over the past two seasons as well. That's eighth in the NFL. And people might push back and say, well, the quarterback has changed. I'm not sure it's got any worse.
Yeah. It can get worse. Yeah.
And people have said, well, the offense could change as well. A lot of what Deontay Johnson did was he catches passes at or near the line of scrimmage. And if you look at his air yards per target, it is much lower than some of the other wide receivers that we have talked about as the best in the NFL. I don't think stylistically, based off what I saw this preseason, things look that much different. A lot of the Steelers offense, and our buddy Dan Orlovsky has mentioned this recently as well, is sort of like all or nothing, as in like vertical shots down the field or passes near the line of scrimmage. I think Deontay Johnson's still a great bet for 10 or more targets in a game almost every single Sunday. I mean, last year he had, he was tied for fifth in terms of games with 7+ targets, and he had his games with 10 or more targets. So I think Deontay Johnson maybe is being a bit undervalued. I like the player a lot. I know that the touchdown upside hasn't been as significant for him as it has been for other players, but if you look at guys that are going a little bit ahead of him, I think he can be Keenan Allen plus. Keenan Allen is an amazing player, obviously, but I think he has even more touchdown upside than Keenan Allen and comparable volume. I love Deontay Johnson to value right now.
Yeah, going in the fifth round, if you're looking to grab him this year, I think that's really good value. I'm with you on that field. Maybe you're on the fence as to which wide receiver two you want to draft in Pittsburgh, or maybe you're on the fence as to which credit card you're supposed to get. With NerdWallet side-by-side comparisons of top credit cards, you don't have to be. NerdWallet, the smart decision for all your financial decisions in field. When we're looking at these pass catchers behind Deontay Johnson, you got Chase Claypool, and you've got rookie George Pickens, who has been, I feel like, lighting this fantasy world on fire this last little bit of the preseason.
Yeah.
It's a big buzz, a lot of buzz around George Pickens' name. If you're choosing one of these two pass catchers, do you like Claypool or Pickens this year?
I'm going to go with Pickens here, and it's going to be a little bit of a talent hedge here. Chase Claypool is a super talented guy. We know that. He had an incredible rookie stretch when he had like 10 touchdowns over the course of four games. But last year, he came back down to earth in a major way. He had eight games with three or fewer catches. He had just one game with at least 100 receiving yards, and he had two receiving touchdowns. Something that caught my attention with Chase Claypool because of the team and the coach that he plays for is that there was a time last year where it felt like he got called out by Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin rarely does that unless it's a significant issue with the player. I have my ears up, then my antenna up for the possibility that if George Pickens has a couple of good games early on and he plays a similar or identical role to Chase Claypool, it could just become his. And George Pickens' talent was not questioned coming into the draft. It was availability. He missed some time due to a torn ACL and some maturity concerns as well. But he's in Pittsburgh, which if you're looking to get a guy on the straight and narrow, Pittsburgh is certainly one of the places to do it. And he's had a great preseason as well. Mm-hmm. Not only is he making acrobatic catches, he's pushing defensive backs around. The guy seems like the real deal. So I think George Pickens has a better shot than Chase Claypool to emerge as a weekly lineup fixture this season in Pittsburgh.
Heck yeah.
I was just going to say that very similar. And just in terms of watching him over the preseason, I think you've seen some of his comfort being on an NFL field elevate. And talked about him pushing guys around. Like, he is not afraid to engage in the contact to win that contest to catch a ball. You love to see that.
Love to see that. All right, Stefania. Speaking of contact, then, I want to talk about Najee Harris. Mm. Is that fair?
As far as pass catchers go, Daniel, do you want to just quickly mention to Pat Freiermuth?
I mean, really, there's what we should talk about his pedigree.
Of course, we should.
I didn't see Pat Freiermuth, pop question here. Yeah.
Went to
the Brooks School,
second best athlete of all time after Chapin Yates, of course. Okay. So the only player, or one of the few players.
It's Chapin's birthday, Daniel, and I can't believe that you passed up an opportunity for us to highlight her athletic career.
It says Deontay Johnson / Pat Freiermuth. I thought he was somewhere down farther in the nose. That's my bad. That's on me.
Yeah, but I do like Pat. I mean, I think we all sort of feel the same way about Pat Freiermuth. He's kind of in that next tier of tight ends that you're hoping he scores.
Targets,
he
does. So,
he had seven receiving touchdowns last year, so he's good in the red zone. His air yard per target was very low last year, 5.54, so
very
he does not do much. Yeah, he's exactly right. He is very much like Heath Miller and those guys that have been a fixture at tight end for so long in Pittsburgh. The volume was solid. He's going off the board as tight end 10. I think he's fine. You've got guys with more touchdown upside like Dawson Knox, maybe even Hunter Henry with his past, but you've also got guys with concerns right behind him like Mike Gesicki, because he might be the fifth option in his own team's passing offense. Yeah. So I think Freiermuth is a name that if you wait on tight end is a serviceable option. I don't think the quarterback play is going to impact much for these pass catchers this year.
Wholeheartedly agree. If I get past my line of delineation, Pat Freiermuth is the kind of guy I'm targeting.
And I know it's the preseason, but like five catches, 80 yards. He's clearly still a target. So to the point of the quarterback change not impacting him.
All right, let's talk about Najee, because we watched Najee last year lead the league with 381 touches, Stefania Bell. Huge workload.
Volume.
Are there any durability concerns for you as a part of that volume? Because as a big running back, he touches the ball a lot.
Well, it just by definition, by the fact that he is on the field as much as he is, we've talked about it with Christian McCaffrey, it's an exposure. Every time you step on the field for practice or a game, it's an exposure. And when you are carrying the ball and you are the focal point of people trying to bring you down contact-wise, your risk goes up. It's just that doesn't necessarily mean you will get hurt, but it does seem to have a wear and tear over time analogy, even though we don't have data to specifically back it up. We've seen it happen before. We also know Pittsburgh not afraid to run their running backs into the ground. Yep. I mean, that's the thing. Think about what happened. Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, when they were workhorses until they got hurt. We were talking about Najee yesterday because of the foot issue that kept him out of camp. That was, you know, somebody can fall into your foot and you end up with a mild Lisfranc injury. He's recovering from that. I'm not worried about that carrying into the season. I do think there's, yes, of course, because he's on the field more, he increases his exposure, but is not making me shy away given the productivity that he has and given his ability to make yards after contact.
That reminds me of like a 2025 and 2027 conversation for
now. This year,
right? Yeah. But let's talk about 2022 for a second.
Opportunities field.
Opportunities are massive. I don't know why Pittsburgh would be motivated to do anything other than use Najee Harris, basically just like how he was last season.
Really quickly, did Didn't Mike Tomlin come out and say, though, that they wanted to find ways to not have him on the field quite as much this year? And is that just coach speak heading into the season, or is that something to really think about?
I mean, Mike Tomlin is one of my favorite coach quotes in the NFL, maybe in all of sports, but that to me feels like maybe like an intention versus what actually happens on the field. Okay. And you mentioned it. Led the NFL in total touches last season. Led all running backs in terms of catches and targets. Elite in the passing game. So good. By the way, he's awesome at football. Yeah. Like, we can debate the merits of using a first-round pick in the real draft on a running back, but Najee Harris is an absolute stud on the field, can certainly handle a big load every single week, as we saw this past season. He had 8 top 10 finishes and only 3 games that weren't very good for Najee Harris, so more often than not, you were getting elite production, and he had the most games last year with at least 20 touches in the NFL. He had a poor level of efficiency as a runner last year, and still averaged 18 fantasy points per game. I don't know if the offensive line's any better this year. They made a couple of moves in free agency, including signing Mason Cole and also James Daniels, that is supposed to upgrade the offensive line. I'm not sure if it's upgraded, but if the volume is still there, both as a runner and a passer, Najee Harris belongs in that conversation with the likes of Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara and players that are not necessarily being discussed for the first pick overall, which seems to be mostly a Jonathan Taylor and maybe Christian McCaffrey and maybe Austin Eckler conversation, but he belongs to be in the, he deserves to be in that same breadth of running backs. The volume is going to be so, so good for Najee Harris. And earlier in the show, we talked about how players tend to get better from year one to year two. I know that running backs have shown they can adjust to the league faster than anybody else, but it's also possible that we just see an improved Najee Harris this season because he's actually seen NFL defenses for a full year. So I'm bullish on Najee Harris. He's a really good, I know a lot of people are motivated to take one of these great wide receivers in the first round. But if you think that there is too much value in having an elite running back, Najee Harris at the back end of round one, that's a tasty option right there. Really, really solid.
Is there a backup behind him, an insurance back? I mean, he's with knowing that he's the guy that gets the workload. Is there someone else there that you want to roster? Doesn't feel like it to me. Just wanted to throw it out there.
I don't think so. You know, we'll see based off of what happens with some roster cuts today in Pittsburgh, but I don't think there's anybody that's a clear cut back. And I think in previous years, we have seen sort of a little bit more of a committee approach. James Conner, his last season in Pittsburgh, missed some time, and there was a bit more committee than one man band. So I don't have a good answer to that right now, Daniel. Maybe that's worth revisiting at some point before the preseason is over, but right now, it kind of feels like they would lean towards a committee as opposed to a one-for-one exchange.
It feels like that's been their pattern, too. You know, one guy who does it all until he's not available, and then there's sort of patchwork to make it work until they're back.
Caesars has them at 7 wins for this season. Stefania Bell in this AFC North. 7 wins!
I'm surprised by that number.
I know, I am too. Wow. I mean, have you looked at Mike Tomlin's record of winning seasons? So, of course, I'm taking the over.
Yeah. I'm taking the over as well. Death, taxes, and Tomlin, right? So he's got 14 straight seasons to begin his head coaching career with a non-losing record, minimum of 8 wins. Now with the 17th game, it is different. I suspect that streak will continue. Yeah. I just have immense respect for Mike Tomlin as a human and a coach as well.
I'm going to take the over on it as well. And now it has reached the time of the show where Stefania is going to help us pay our bills.
Indeed. Fantasy football season is around the corner, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash-talking friends. This season, you know your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor Sports Drink on and off the field. Your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash-talking points you need. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water, it's a great time to grab some Body Armor sports drink for yourself. Body Armor is a great option whether you're playing ball with friends, hauling coolers to a tailgate, or rooting for your team. Body Armor sports drink, more than a sports drink. Now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in-store to enter to be one of hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
Get in on the hottest sports action for your shot at cold, hard cash with DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet on your favorite sports all summer long and gear up for football season. Right now, new customers can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't hit, you'll get another shot at a big win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FFF. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet of up to $1,000. That's a $1,000 risk-free bet. It's promo code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Wyoming. 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and New Hampshire. 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 877-8-HOPE in New York or text HOPE-NY in New York. Visit opgr.org in Oregon. Call or text Tennessee Redline. 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee or 1-888-532-5300 in Virginia. 21+, 18+ in Wyoming. Physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. Not applicable in New Hampshire and Oregon. New customers only. Minimum $5 wager required. Risk-free bet paid out in the form of non-withdrawable free bet token. Maximum $1,000. Eligibility restrictions apply. Offer ends August 14th, 2022. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
She's not a clone. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
You just crushed that.
Did
Stefania.
I get that?
That was a really good read. That was a very Princeton read right there.
Seriously, you did such a great job there. All right, let's talk about some teams. We have some awesome listeners that hang out with us every single day.
This fired me up.
Yep.
Our Twitter and our YouTube chat both. And in years past, I just want to give a quick shout out. In years past, the Genius Commentary crew from our Twitter group has put together a bunch of leagues. This year, we're trying to really make sure that we're focusing on YouTube, and we have so many people that are in here that have been exciting to hang out with. Kyle Soppy hangs out with them all show long within the chat, which is great. So if you're talking to somebody in the chat, know that it's Thirsty Kyle that you're hanging out with. We got a draft that happened last night of a bunch of our listeners decided they all wanted to get together, hang out, and be friends and join a fantasy football league together, is what it's all about.
It's how that happens.
Absolutely.
Keep growing the fantasy community.
This reminds me, and we're going to get to these 12 teams that drafted, but this is what's so cool to me. This is what I love is that the community of fantasy football is simply unmatched. Last night, again, we'll talk about it one more time, but Chapin was doing her draft, one of two, because she's doing a local and then also a high school friends league. And all of a sudden, she just like, yeah, I hear her just like scream, yes. And I'm like, what? And she's like, I got Derrick Henry in the first round. Like, she was in a, she had pick six and she wasn't sure whether Henry would be there or not. And she was so fired up. Meanwhile, I'm like, the baby's asleep, but I'm really happy for you. But what's cool about it is that her high school friends live all over the country now and they're all at different phases of their life. Married with kids, married without kids, unmarried, whatever the situation may be. And this is a chance for them to be brought back together. And while these 12 people in our YouTube chat may not know each other in person at all, they formed a little bond in that YouTube chat. And we hope that maybe next year it's two leagues of 12 or three leagues of 12 or maybe even five leagues of 12. So shout out to all of you. We're going to give you a special mention right now and run through some of these teams a little bit too.
Love the community and relationship here. All right. First team that we have is Speed Blue. I think we're going to throw these up on the
Full screen for those that are watching. But why don't you pick like a thing or two that stands out, Dan? You can go first here.
I'll tell you what. I'm looking at this. I see Jonathan Taylor went 1.1 overall, and I really like this team's receivers: DJ Moore, Chris Olave. That is a good group of pass catchers there to go with Jonathan Taylor and Russell Wilson. Like it.
Yeah.
Moving forward to Miracle Man, Stefan, you want to take this one and see what you like about Miracle Man, who had the second overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, no, I love Nick. We were talking about Nick Chubb the other day and saying, what do we think of him as one of the most solid, consistent running backs in the league? And he's got him paired with David Montgomery.
Yeah, and Justin Jefferson, the number two pick overall.
Exactly. I know. So his number, he gets a running back like Nick Chubb while still having arguably the top wide receiver in the league and, you know, one of the best tight ends. From my team, George Kittle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, Brady Shark comes up next field.
Yeah, this one had the third overall pick. Did Brady Shark to Christian McCaffrey, which, of course, you got to love that. And a player that I've harped on many times during the preseason, Chris Godwin, a good value there. T. Higgins, we discussed earlier. as the wide receiver one on this roster, at least until Chris Godwin is back up to 100% strength. Plus Tom Brady and Travis Kelce, who both could finish as the top player at their respective positions. It's hard not to like this team here.
Brady CMC, Shark. Higgins, yep. Chris Godwin, Travis Kelce. Wow, a lot there. All right, next team coming up. TJ Dobinson. I'm going to try not to just full on say this is my favorite team. However,
how could it not be?
I do.
Look at the Lions.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to say this as a part of this. I love the Lions, right? And I actually really do like this team. Austin Eckler, Javonte Williams, AJ Dillon. I love those three running backs. I don't usually try to grab both Amon-Ra St. Brown and TJ Hockenson. They're close enough to each other that I try. The Lions aren't a pass heavy enough offense for me to want to have two of their pass catchers. However, you get to a point where if TJ Hockenson is your guy at tight end and there's no one else you want past that, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But love this team still. And Trey Lance at under center, maybe looking at waivers just in case something happens later on this year, but really like this team as well. All right, Cavs, Barkley is up next, Stefania.
I love the reference to Saquon's anatomy.
Well, I'll tell you what. We got two injured running backs, and I don't want to say oft-injured, but Dalvin Cook and Saquon Barkley are two guys here.
I think Dalvin Cook that's an unfair rep for him. Because he's had a couple of things, but ever since the ACL followed by the struggle in the following year, but he's been remarkable. Again, volume of work means a little bit more risk. Dalvin Cook will always get you the volume, and I love Saquon this year for as rough as it was going into last season, my concerns about last year. I think that extra time of him recovering over the offseason, I mean, look, he told me about it. He feels like a different running back. I really like Saquon this year and might even be targeting him in a couple of my own drafts.
Hey, now, I like that. All right. I'm going to take over King Henry, this next this team one, huh, that Daniel? We have. Yeah. I like this team a lot. Derrick Henry. I love the hero running back that I feel like happened here. Derrick Henry with the two running backs of being Tony Pollard and James Robinson. He gets Josh Allen, the number one quarterback in this league. Deebo Samuel, Jalen Waddle, Hunter Renfrow, Devonta Smith at wide receiver, and Dalton Schultz at tight end. That second RB spot is one to think about, but I love everything else on this team, Fields Yates.
Next one here is Cup You Up. Cooper Kupp had the 7th overall pick here, and believe it or not, took Cooper Kupp with that first round pick. So Kupp goes a little bit later off the board than I think many expect him to go, followed up with James Conner in the 2nd round, Leonard Fournette also as well off the board early. Excuse me, Leonard Fournette 2nd round, James Conner 3rd round there. So this was one of my favorite teams as well. Darren Waller is a player that we're going to discuss at some point over the next few days because there's reports that he is closing in on a contract extension. Mm-hmm. Or at least he is discussing a contract extension with the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that could boost his ADP back up. This is one of those where you wonder if a player missing all this time due to injury, this is one of those
like
the most minor of minor hamstring issues. Like, you know, on Monday it felt painful. Monday it felt painful. Then pen went to paper on Tuesday. Right. I got to tell you, I slept great last night. Yeah. I feel like myself again. So like this roster here from Cup, You Up.
All right. All day Clay, Stefania starts out. Boy, with Joe Mixon probably at the turn. Joe Mixon and Aaron Jones, it looks like. I like that turn. If you're going to grab two running backs there, 12, 13. That's not bad.
Yeah, and then, you know, Damian Pierce, who I've been highlighting all along. Now, unfortunately, people are catching on, but that is a solid running back crew right there. You potentially have three starting running backs right there, too.
By the way, the wide receivers aren't total scrubs. A.J. Brown is going to match with Jalen Hurts under center on this team as well. They got Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, counting on some high-flying Texans offense.
Don't love taking both Hopkins and Robert Woods. Too much injury risk for that wide receiving core for me. Interested to see what else is available on that bench.
I'm happy with Robert Woods. Like, he's going to be ready to start the season. I think, you know, he's number one in Tennessee. I think I don't mind Robert Woods there. DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know. For me, I'm just not drafting DeAndre Hopkins. I think you can pick him up later. It's a lot to hang on to.
All right. Next team up is called Takeover with Lamar Jackson under center.
Dan, this is my favorite team in the entire draft. So some of the things that I liked on this roster include Lamar Jackson as the quarterback. We dove deep on him yesterday. Alvin Kamara, who I will continue to mention that I reserved the right to change my opinion because we just don't know what's going to happen here. But assuming Alvin Kamara is on the field, he is an amazing, amazing fantasy football player. Look at the pass catchers here. Just straight up absurd.
Fire.
Tyreek Hill, Terry McLaurin, Jerry Jeudy, Drake London, who I also want to make a note that we should bring up, because while the injury when he got hurt was described as not serious, as of last check, still not on the practice field. We'll monitor that. And then Mark Andrews at the back end of this roster as the tight end. Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews stack. You had me there, even if I do prefer Travis Kelce over Mark Andrews. Love this team. Good job by you, TakeOver.
Can't help but notice that your favorite team is a team that has Kareem Hunt on it in spite of yesterday's back and forth. Maybe if Cordero Patterson was on this team, you'd like it even more.
Yeah.
Stefania, what about you? Lambs of Stefania.
Well,
comes
clearly
on next.
It's my
Wait
favorite
a minute.
Team.
Just
I
of the
mean,
name?
Yeah. I'm not shy. Like, why would I hide that?
Actually,
why would I hide? Of course, if you are going to name your team after me, you're automatically my
a good
favorite.
Roster,
but
actually,
it also,
though.
yeah. By the way, it doesn't, they're not mutually exclusive, Daniel.
You're right.
You can also be loyal to me and still have a really good team. I don't know what you're trying to say, but look, I love Dak Prescott this year. CeeDee Lamb, I mean, I think he's going to have a monster season. We've talked about Najee Harris being such an incredible volume running back who's going to get a ton of work and catch you a ton of passes. And oh, by the way, Elijah Mitchell, yeah, I kind of like him as well. Mm. Got one of the top tier tight ends in Kyle Pitts.
Mike
What's
Williams,
not to love?
Allen Robinson,
the rebirth
Elijah
of
Moore.
Allen Robinson is happening this year, I'm telling you.
Yeah, absolutely. Love this team as well. Next one up, we have TH3. And that team leads off. Wow. Jamar
is
Chase, Stephon
three?
Diggs, Christian Kirk. Don't love Mecole Hardman. That's a me thing.
It's a me problem.
But I love Jamar Chase, Stephon Diggs, Christian Kirk. Love Travis Etienne. Not really in on J.K. Dobbins and Miles Sanders. Those are two guys, I think, you know, for me, a little bit farther on down that running back list. Love Travis Etienne, though. And having Patrick Mahomes under center is never going to be bad for your roster here.
This roster is going to go as far as the running backs will take it, yep. Because the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, is going to end up being a top five quarterback
elite.
This year.
Jamar Chase.
And those guys, yeah. They could be 1-2 in terms of wide receiver right. points this year. It's going to come down to how far J.K. Dobbins, Travis Etienne, and Miles Sanders will take you. Miles Sanders did not score a rushing touchdown last season. I'm in on Travis Etienne. Mm-hmm. We talked about J.K. Dobbins. And a little teaser, we'll talk about J.K. Dobbins again tomorrow, because by the time our show hits the air tomorrow, we think Kenyon Drake will officially be a Raven. And that adds some context to an already interesting, crowded, perhaps confusing backfield situation in Baltimore. But yeah. TH3, nice squad there. Should we bring it on home with Young?
Yeah, we got one
young,
more.
Just
and by
young.
The way, as a part of bringing this up, well, I'll wait until we're done with this.
Is
All right.
that forever Young?
So you've got Joe Burrow as quarterback.
Yeah.
DeAndre Swift, Ezekiel Elliott, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
So this one reminds me of the opposite here. This one will go, Young's team will go as far as the wide receivers will take Young.
Yep.
It's not that I have no issue at all with Davante Adams, but the next three wide receivers, the outcome will be interesting. Amari Cooper, who we talked about on yesterday's show, how much upside is there with Jacoby Brissett for the first 11 games, but still a really talented guy and only 28 years old. DK Metcalf, again, I'm more encouraged based off what I've seen from Geno Smith this preseason than I was a month ago, but still, Russell Wilson to Geno Smith, a notable downgrade. And then Alan Lazard, one of my fear players from yesterday. Am I too low on Alan Lazard? He's got Aaron freaking Rodgers as his quarterback. If those three last wide receivers hit, Young will be in good shape.
Yeah, really will. Really will. But there's a lot of question marks in that wide receiving core. Like, that room is a little tough from that standpoint. All right, so Fields, your favorite team you said was which one?
Take over with Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews.
Shout out to that. Stefania, yours was obviously Lambs of Stefania.
Of course.
Mine's supposed to be TJ Dobbinson because of the name, and I do love the name, but I think King Henry is my favorite team out of those. And by the way, this was
cut to TJ Dobbinson changing their name right now.
Stop it.
I would.
Listen, this was so much fun, and we're going to do this more. Like, I realized that this was just our YouTube chat and sending in what we want to do, you know, talking about teams. We want to hear you guys send in your teams after this draft weekend that you're about to have. If you drafted a team, shoot us a tweet at Fantasy Focus. We want to be able to look through and comb through a bunch of the teams. We're just going to pick a handful of rosters that we like and that we want to talk about. Give us some kind of context. Where did you pick from? Are there any crazy rules that you have? Are there any third round reversals? Any of those kind of things. But please, we want to be able to talk about your teams and just see what the draft landscape looks for you guys. So at Fantasy Focus, send over your drafted teams this weekend. And I think that's us. That's it for today.
We are back tomorrow. That is right. And tomorrow we've got, I believe, Mike Clay, myself, and Liz Loza will be joining the show as well. We'll dive deep into Mike's projections and a lot of the moves that you're seeing today are some practice squad type players who are being released, will be signed to the practice squad in the coming days. But there will be a few
that
move
and finish the
needle.
Some running backs on the move.
We'll talk about some of these moves from today, whatever the news cycle gives us. In the meantime, for Daniel Estefania, I am Phil. Talk to you guys on Wednesday.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, correct. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you won't.
No,
you won't
be here. You won't be here either.
Okay, never mind. I will talk to you guys later. Talk to Mike and Liz tomorrow.
You talk to Mike even when he's not here.
That's true. We did text again yesterday.
I was on that text.
Oh, they didn't count you.
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squad? Who's that squad?
He's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squad? He's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.